Amen. Open your Bibles again to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. I promise, Joe, from now on I will have shorter titles. This is message number 4 out of What People Who Want to Be Blessed Know. Okay? So, you can't even turn that into a good acronym, can you? Psalm 89 and verse 15 has been our starting point. This is, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And we've looked at the first message on what that they know the joyful sound. Then we started our second message talking about that they know where to walk. And we looked at the fact that they walk in light of God's countenance there in Psalm 89:15. They walk in newness of life in Romans 6:4. They walk in after the Spirit with God's leading in Romans 8:4. They walk honestly, Romans 13, verse 13 and 14. They walk by faith and not by sight in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And then last week we looked at them walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And tonight, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. See, because we can't walk the way the world walks. There's no way that that should happen. There's no way that should be. If you're truly saved, your walk ought to be different. You don't work to get saved, but because you're saved, it should change the inside of your life. So the outside that comes from the inside would make people look to see that difference. And so tonight I want you to see, as you were looking at this, Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. And it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk how? Worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And it tells a little bit about it to us. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing. That means putting up with each other. Amen. Forbearing one another. How? If you can't do it in love, you won't do it at all. Amen. If love is not the means or the source of how you're going to get along with somebody else, eventually it will break down, because when it's not done in Christian love, it's always about me. Amen? So it tells us, with all lowliness, in meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep what? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are to walk worthy. And it tells you you can't do that if you think you deserve more. It says with how? With lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Had people smiling. Judy mentioned, there is a, this is beyond, this, he lives in America, so it's not a problem. But the man's name is Sunil. His last name is Gill. He was supposed to be our Uber driver to pick us up from Northeast Philadelphia Airport and then drive us to the Hope Lodge with cancer treatment. They give you free housing and stuff there, and where we were going to be staying. And he works, he has a business just down below these office complex, just below the airport. But he'd worked hard, and he goes, and he's a Christian man. He was saved. And he's going, Lord, I'm too tired. I run my business, and then I do Uber to help take care of the cost of my family and doing a side business. I take care of my mother. She lives with him, his wife and his little girl. And he said, I just want to go home, Lord. I don't think I should do this. He was going to turn down our Uber trip, our drive. What happens? He says, God wouldn't give me any peace. I don't know why I was supposed to come over and pick you up. And he gets there, and we get in the car, And we ask him, is there something we could pray for him? Because we're praying about, you know, Judy's, God's blessed with the results of what's going on with her cancer. And we've promised God every morning we covenant afresh with him that we will look for divine appointments. And I told him he's our divine appointment. And he goes, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. He says, I was going to turn you down. And he says, you're my brother in Christ. And he's talking to us. And he goes, you don't need to call any more Ubers. I will drive you where you want. I only live 1 mile from here. And he's talking to us, and I'm asking him, what would you have us to pray for? You know, and he's asking to pray for his family. He's got, his father is a Pentecostal pastor in Pakistan. So, save man. We don't agree with certain things that man's teaching over there. But he's in Pakistan. That is a Muslim country. And can you pray for that? And he says, I want to be able to serve God. My father serves God. And he's saying, pray for my family. And he goes, time he gets us there and stuff, he goes, they probably won't have food for you. I will drive you. Tell me where you want to go. I will get food for you. And Judy went, we got to go get checked in. We turn around. And he goes, I will wait. I don't have his phone number thing. He's sitting out in the car waiting. I take Judy in. We drop our stuff off. We get our room. I come back out. I ended up taking him out to eat so he could talk. And I gave him a full testimony. And he's going, could you come preach this message? I just gave him a testimony. Could you preach this message to my wife and my mother and my little girl? And I, you know, we ate at this place. I'll never go back to a Korean barbecue the same. I just want you to know that, because if you don't eat everything, they charge you in this place. They don't let you do a, that's, never mind. Okay. But we turn around and I said, I can't take food back to my wife, because we dropped her off. It had to be around 5:30. It gets to be, by the time I said, I've got to get her something, she's doing carnivore. So we go through a Wendy's and I get her a double cheeseburger with bacon and no roll and all the stuff. We take it back. I run it inside. I had to get inside. You have to have a key to come in. We get back in. I take her the food and I said, I'm sorry, I got to leave. He wants me to come talk to his family. And she goes, I was getting worried about you, honey. You left with a guy who, you know, maybe, you know, he's going to cry Allah Akbar or something, you know. And she was afraid. And I said, no, and I got to go. He wants me to go meet his family and pray. So, okay, I'm there and I'm turning around and going, Lord, I just want to go and hug my wife. And this man wants me to witness to his family. So we drive. I'm there. I'm praying over them. I pray for his wife, and she's saved. The mother doesn't speak English, but she's saved. But it reminded me of India, because I said, I will pray. And she grabs my hand, and she goes and puts my hand on her forehead. So I'm praying over this woman. Steve and Dawn know exactly what I'm talking about. And I got to pray for people. And I'm praying, and I prayed, and I asked his wife's name is Ramisha. And he's in his early 40s, and she's in her late 20s. Sounded familiar to me. Okay. And he's... Okay, so I'm just being honest with you, people, and I'm going, Lord, I just want to go back and be with my wife. And they start asking questions, and I look at her, and I gave the testimony about Judy and I praying and how that she wasn't supposed to be here, that they wanted her, they were going to put her in hospice back in early May, and she doesn't have the same thing. She has the cancer, but God's holding it, and it's not growing. And she looks at me, and I said, we believe in prayer, and our church believes in prayer. And I said, is there something I can pray for you about? And she looks at me. And she's studying to get her certification to be a registered nurse here in the United States. She was a nurse in Pakistan. And she goes, I want a baby boy. So I'm praying, and I said, God can give you a baby boy. And I said, if you ever come to visit us, come drink the water at Emmanuel. And that's in God's hands. And I told her, I says, you know, every birth, even though it happens so often, every birth is a miracle. And so I will pray for you and your husband, and I will pray that his heart is right, and I want you two to prepare for a baby. If the baby doesn't come, then you need to know that's God's will. And I'm talking with her, and the next thing I know, I get back to the place we're staying at 10:30. So it's one of those things where it says, in lowliness of mind, forbearing one another in love. I got back at 10:30. At 10:45, he called me. And he goes, if you can't get to the airport tomorrow, I will drive you. And he says, and he told me it is how he wants to arrange for me to witness to a Muslim friend of his, because Sunil plays basketball. And he goes, you must have played basketball. And I said, long time ago. And I said, so you play? He says, missionary gave me a basketball when I was a little kid. And I got very, very good. And I played in Pakistan. And I coached in Pakistan. I said, what'd you play, point guard? He's a Pakistani. Okay. And he goes, no, I played power forward. And he looks at me and he goes, Pakistanis are not like Americans. So we had this. And then he's called last night. And he says, have you made arrangements? You said your wife has WhatsApp. He says, we can do this on WhatsApp. I'm already arranging for this to take place. And all I could think of was Brother Paul looking at me and saying, Pastor Legault, please do the necessary. So tomorrow sometime, I got to call him when we get home tonight. My wife, we're going to talk to him and find out the time frame, and I'm going to be witnessing to a Muslim young man and his Muslim father who has cancer. And he says, they are open to hear now. So pray for that. So sometimes walking worthy just means being willing. Amen? Amen. We are to walk worthy. Look at Philippians. Did I finish that? Did I read? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Now, it doesn't say worthy, but it applies to what we're talking about. Because your walk is how you live before this world. Amen? Is there enough evidence with the people you are around, whether it's your neighbors, the people you work with, the people you go to school with? Could they, in a court of law, convict you of being a Christian? Philippians chapter 1. Verse 27, only let your conversation, that's your manner of life. It's not just what you say, it's how you act. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts will be established. Only let your conversation be as becometh what? You know what that means when you say, oh, that's very becoming. That looks really nice on you. That's how that's being used. That's the old English usage of that word, that becometh what? The gospel of Christ. It makes the gospel more attractive to a lost and dying world. That whether I come and see you or be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, and that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them is an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. And then it tells us, for unto you is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to what? Amen? Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Our conversation. Are we walking worthy? The manner of life. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to notice there in Ephesians 4, it says, forbearing one another in love, right? Now, Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 9. And it says, for this cause, this is the Apostle Paul praying for the church and the people at Colossae. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to what? We promised the Lord we'd pray for our divine appointments. how many names in that book now? We've had a lot of trips. We've been out to eat. We have waitresses and waiters and their parents and their mothers and their friends. And it makes me feel like John Wall with the 3-ring binders full of prayer requests. We do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk how? See that? Walking worthy again of the Lord unto all what? Pleasing who? If a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience with long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. That means to be what? Basically worthy. Meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power. And the reason I have to read the rest of this is because Paul's got a run-on sentence. There's a whole lot of colons and semicolons, right? Who delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You know what He's done? He's made us a different language. That's to change from one to another in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The rapture is a translation from this body to our glorious body. But spiritually, you've already are a new language. Translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. See, because we're to walk worthy, and how to do that? In all pleasing, being fruitful, increasing in knowledge, strengthened by His power, in all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks, and being partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you know your inheritance, your salvation, is totally on who? Him. Do you realize your inheritance is not totally on Him? Study it out. Part of your inheritance, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. What is our joy, our hope, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye at His appearing? That's an inheritance. Part of that, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Catholic Church, just a Pastor Kenny was mentioning to me, I don't pay attention to Catholicism anymore. They got a new pop saint. You realize that? Yeah. He's the influencer saint, a 15-year-old. And they've got his body or whatever part, the phony face and phony hands, but they got him dressed in a polo shirt and jeans or pants and sneakers and stuff, and they've got him, and he can be worshipped. They just declared him because 2 miracles have been performed by someone praying because of him. I don't understand this. All I know this. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you know what you are? You're a saint. Okay? And it says, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light in light. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Go to 2 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is talking here to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, "Ye are witnesses in God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that," what? "Believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk," how? "Worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and..." "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing," because he says he called them worthy, and watch what took place. "Without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually also worketh in you that believe." To walk worthy. To walk worthy. Next week, we'll be talking about walking in love. I don't want to start it tonight because I won't finish it in 15 minutes. But to walk worthy, "For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." I can't remember when we gave it to AJ. There was a plaque and it said Lego. And I said, "You were given this name at birth. It was brought to you with honor and an expectation that you would continue it with honor." Are we walking worthy of God? I'm not talking about walking worthy of salvation. When someone loves you so very, very much, don't you want them to be able to say, "See, they're mine"? We need to understand. He said, Charlie Kirk, he was a saved man. He talked about the unborn. He talked about the sanctity of life. He walked worthy. Whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. So let us walk worthy of the vocation. The vocation is that calling that God has put in your life. When he saved you, he didn't just save you so you could go to heaven. He saved you so you might be able to show others that he loves them enough to save them also. Let's walk worthy of the vocation God has called us with. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.